All right, good to have you with us right here on a Tuesday afternoon in the nation's capital. It is July 1st, 2025, which means we are halfway through and halfway home to 2026. I spent the first hour talking about Muriel Bowser, level of concern, 1 to 5. She said a 4 with Kevin Sheehan earlier today on the Team 980. Again, I think that's legit. I think that's real. I'm worried. I've been worried all along. I don't trust politicians. I think politics in a lot of ways are stupid and they're selfish and they don't look out for the best interests. And we've had a lot of you that have called in and a couple of you and said, the current president is going to save the day and this, that, and the other thing. Look, I know this. Josh Harris and him have a close relationship. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Maybe there'll be something legal. Maybe there won't. I don't know enough about it. But if you ask me, a common man, not a politician, but somebody who has to pay attention to it, not because they want to, but because it's their job, I don't have a very high level of trust for this to go smoothly. I really don't. And maybe that's wrong, but I've never really had that level of confidence. All right, before I get to Cliff Kingsbury and before I get to Paulie, I wanted to spend a moment on this. You see it every July 1st, sometimes usually on June 30th, the advanced tweets will come out so I can be the first one. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, everybody. Who's Bobby Bonilla? Do you even know who Bobby Bonilla is?
No.
You really don't?
No.
Seriously?
My boy Brian doesn't either, so I don't feel
like. Are you serious?
Anymore. Yeah.
Really?
Let me do a quick Google.
When search. Were you born? No. When were you born?
95.
Brian, when were you born?
2000.
2000. You were born in 95. You were born in 2000. Bobby Bonilla last played for the New York Mets. Not in Major League Baseball, for the New York Mets in 1999. So 1 year before Brian was born, and you were still running around, probably soiling your diapers at 4.
I'm perplexed that you had to say really like 4 or 5 times for a baseball player. Knowing how I feel about baseball in the 90s, who stopped playing in the 90s, like, why are you shocked that I don't know who this is?
Because everybody knows who Bobby Bonilla is. Everybody knows.
Well.
So here's what the deal is. July 1st is affectionately or controversially, I guess, known as Bobby Bonilla Day or Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. What it means is, starting in 2011, which was, 14 years ago, and continuing for another 10 years until 2035, the New York Mets baseball organization.
They're still paying him, right?
They pay Bobby Bonilla every July 1st $1.19 million.
I have heard about this story. I just don't attribute the name to the story.
All right. Well, I mean, it's his name, so, you know, I mean, I don't know what else you want me to attribute it to. It's Bobby Bonilla Day, right?
It's just my memory.
All right, so, again, he is 62 years old now. He is 62 years old. He hasn't played for the Mets since 1999. He got paid whatever money he made when he signed with them as a free agent and when he was one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball coming over from the Pirates. And it was a huge free agent deal. At that point, it was like 5 years, $24 million or something like that. But that was enormous money at that point. And every July 1st, again, from 2011 through 2035, long after he stopped playing for them, he gets this paycheck on July 1st, right? Because the Mets deferred a bunch of his contract. I believe it was like $5 million in total with interest from the 25-year period that we're talking about, again, 2011 through 2035. I believe it was like $5 million, right? So here it is. In 2000, So he last played with them in 99. The Mets agreed to buy out the remaining $5.9 million on Bonilla's contract. So it's 5.9, not 5. But the Mets agreed to make annual payments of $1.19 million, or nearly $1.2 million, for 25 years, starting on July 1st, 2011, including a negotiated 8% interest. And obviously his agent said, well, look, you can't just give me the $5.9 million over a 25-year period. There's got to be interest because, well, that money is gaining interest. So the Mets ownership, then the Wilpon family and whatnot, they were in a mess legally, all that. And they agreed to this. Again, he last played in 1999. He last played in Major League Baseball in 2001. He's 62 years old. I didn't realize Bobby Bonilla was that old. He hadn't played Major League Baseball in 24 years. And then on top of that, he gets another deferred contract from the stupid Orioles, which pays him $500,000 a year for 25 years. Those payments began in 2004. This is according to ESPN research. Brett Saberhagen, remember that name? Baseball fans? First with the Royals, then with the Mets. Cy Young Award winner, world champion, what have you, right-hander. $250,000 a year from the Mets for 25 years. Payments that began in 2004, which I guess were the inspiration for Bonilla's deal. Or maybe Bonilla's deal was the inspiration for that. As we know, Max Scherzer is currently getting paid a total of $105 million over 7 years. That started 2 years ago and is still currently going until 2028 by the Nationals. The difference is that was $15 million a year, but that was with no interest. See, the Nationals ownership was at least smart in that regard. Manny Ramirez is collecting $24.2 million from the Red Sox through 2026. Chris Davis, remember him? Davis has a deal with the Orioles in which he collects $59 million in deferred payments during a 15-year payment stretch that started last year and continues through 2037. He received $9.16 million last year and again this year. Then he'll collect $3.5 million in each year from 2026 through 2032 and $1.4 million from 2033 to 2037. And people are already talking about the Ohtani contract. We don't have to break down all of that. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. The Bonilla contract and why it becomes a big story every year is because A, he's 62 years old. He hadn't played in 24 years. And because it was deferred with interest. Like, again, the Nationals, I'm 99.9% sure on this. When they did deferrals in Scherzer's contract that we just mentioned and in Steven Strasburg's first extension, which was, I believe, in 2016 or 2017, they did deferrals without interest. Now, Strasburg's deal that he opted out of and then renegotiated after the 2019 World Series did involve some sort of interest calendar. I forget all the deets, but you get the point. But it wasn't anywhere near as prohibitive as Bobby Bonilla. Again, $5.9 million turned into $1.2 million every year. So say it with me, boys and girls, over 25 years, that's like $35 million.
You know what's funny? I came back to Prince 1999.
Without even knowing who Bobby Bonilla was.
That was definitely done on purpose. Come on now. Smart.
You are pretty smart, except when it comes to baseball. So do you know now who Bobby Bonilla is?
Yeah, Bonita Applebaum.
So Bobby Bonilla was one of the most miserable, cranky, surly. He was right out of Barry Bonds' playbook. And ironically, they were young teammates in Pittsburgh. Both of them had a tremendous disdain for the media. Both of them had disregard for pretty much anyone and everyone in their path. They were both very cocky, arrogant, young, uber talented hitters. And they both came up through the Pirates system. And think about how long it's been since the Pirates have been really relevant in Major League Baseball. It's been since Bonilla and Bonds, for the most part. I mean, there's been a couple of years where they won like 84 games or whatever it was. They've been largely irrelevant since that period in which they let go of Bonilla first in free agency, then Bonds to the Giants. And both of them were great players when they were with the Pirates. One maintained a level of great, Bonds, when he went to the Giants. Now, obviously, it was artificially aided by steroids. Bonilla was never great again. I mean, he was never great. He was okay with the Mets. Okay. But this is not a happy Bobby Bonilla day. Why? Because people that treat people like crap, like Bobby Bonilla did to a lot of people, and I know a lot of people that he did. He didn't treat me like crap. But they should not be celebrated. Nor should terribly dumb deals. I mean, the equivalent of this would be like if Dan Snyder had signed Albert Haynesworth to the contract that he did in 2009, and he deferred parts of it, and Josh Harris and the new ownership group had to pay Albert Haynesworth, I don't know, $3 million every September 1st. Do you know how annoying that would be? Because Albert Haynesworth was a nasty SOB to a lot of people and wasn't good here and did a lot of dumb things and basically quit and rolled over and played dead. Do you know how annoying that would be? That's the kind of personality, that's the closest equivalent that I can come up with for Bobby Bonilla when it comes to somebody that you guys would kind of recognize. You know Albert Haynesworth, of course, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember that very well.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's get to Paulie, see what he says on this happy Bobby Bonilla day. Again, it's not a happy day. He suckered the Mets, who were a loser organization that had made a terrible decision. And I resent the fact that he's getting paid all this money every July 1st. What's up, Paulie?
That's because you're a hater. Hell to the W,
I
man.
Ain't no
happy
hater.
Bobby Bonilla. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, man. Hey, happy birthday to my cousins, too, man. T-Bone at 25-8, man. Happy birthday to you guys.
Happy birthday.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Hey, and the fact that he did it again with the Orioles, man, you got to tip your hat to Bobby. But we're not celebrating Bobby Bonilla, the personality or the person. We're celebrating Bobby Bonilla, the businessman. That was a stroke of genius.
I didn't say it wasn't a smart, calculated move. I would absolutely defer money any chance I get, but, you know.
That was a stroke of genius. But no, let me say
his agent was very smart. I mean, to turn $5.9 million into about 30, I think it's probably about 37, 38 million, somewhere in that range, is pretty damn smart.
He must be related to Kirk Cousins' age.
Ah.
They probably like distant cousins. Hey, let me say this, though. Y'all was talking about the stadium and all that. And I wanted to chime in last week when y'all was talking about it. You know, things just came up. But I'm going to give you a perspective from a fan who's 3 hours away. I don't care. Honestly. I mean, I love the nostalgia of going back to the RFK site. But really, that's where the nostalgia is going to end at. You're talking about a dome stadium, fake grass. That's not RFK to me. You know, to me, it's Redskin weather. You know, 45, 50 degrees. Or when it starts raining and we talk about the Hogs and Rigo and winning in the elements. And you know, the home team, the home crowd is always going to be the home crowd. But right now, I don't care. Just get it done. Let me know. We're talking about 4 to 6 years later anyways. You know what's going to happen in 4 to 6 years? special. We got Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
We're going to start building our own memories in FedEx. It's already happened last year. You know, you got the Eagles game. He threw 5 touchdown passes and brought us back. You got the doink into the goalpost to put us into the playoffs against Atlanta. You got the Hail Mary. You know what I mean? You got Terry racing up the sidelines against Dallas to bring us within an extra point to tie the game. So in 4 to 6 years, we're going to have more memories at FedEx, and then we're going to be talking about the nostalgia of FedEx Field. So for me, the outside looking in and being 3-4 hours away, I don't care.
You know where they're going to talk about the nostalgia of FedEx Field? Not only what you just said, but when it costs $500 to sit in the club level for a game in December when they're 6-10.
No. Stop it. You know, we're not going to be 6-10 as long as we got Jaden, man. He must be talking about an injury year maybe he might have. Stop it. Don't talk like that. But my whole point is, man, you know, we're talking about, you know, for me, like I said, a fan is not in that area. And I understand the people who do live there and have the history. But me, not living in that area, 4 to 6 years from now, I mean, I don't care. Just build the stadium, get it done. You know, now the politicians, anytime anything gets political, your mind would just, you know, sit back, relax, and wait for them to get it done. But really, I could care less if they do it or not, because we're talking about 4 to 6 years from now. And like I said, we're going to be, you know, the team's going to build their own memories in that time at FedEx, especially if we win it. And that's what happened last year. I just gave you 3 or 4 different occasions of, you know, nostalgia moments. We're never going to get the Hail Mary. You know, we're not going to stop talking about 5 touchdown passes and a comeback
right,
in the fourth quarter.
But let me ask you this. Do you associate that with FedEx Field, or do you associate that just with Jaden? Right?
Well, right now, of course, right now is with Jaden.
Yeah.
But we keep having more of those memories like that and moments at home at FedEx Field. Mm-hmm. It's going to be associated
yeah.
with FedEx Field.
I think FedEx Field will never have that special karma. You know, the seat cushion game and all the championship game.
Oh,
but
okay, you said it right there. Why did RFK had that karma? Because we was winning.
Well, yes.
We was hosting championship games, but there were several unique things,
I guess, about the RFK experience, the shaking stands. Of course, the Hogs, which started there. Yes, the winning, of course. But the last championship win against the Lions to get to the last Super Bowl, right? They beat the Cowboys in a championship game along the way, right?
All I'm saying is, in the time it's going to take to build the stadium, if things go the way we hope they're going to go with Jaden Daniels and Quinn, that we're going to be building our own nostalgia at FedEx Field. You know, and then we'll be searching for the same thing back at RFK whenever they get it built. But it's not going to be, you know, RFK Stadium. This is going to be the stadium that's back in D.C. The team is back in D.C. now. Because it's going to have a whole different look. It's not going to be an outdoor stadium. You're not going to have that natural grass. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, from a fan outside, you know, outside the city looking in, I don't care.
All right.
Just get it.
That's
built.
Fine.
You know
I said that, you know, essentially the same thing. I'll go wherever it is. I have a semi-emotional attachment to that property, but I don't have enough of one like so many others. But I understand your perspective, Paulie. I appreciate you. I got
to
let you run.
Thank you, Paulie.
Love you too. Happy July 1st. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. It's not a happy day. Cliff Kingsbury's ranking next amongst all, not just offensive coordinators, all coordinators. We'll get into that next. Team 980, Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us right here on a Tuesday. So before we get back to the calls, I wanted to get into this. Cliff Kingsbury, I saw this ranking on one of the things that just popped up on my computer through MSN. And quite honestly, I tried to find who did the actual ranking, but I couldn't exactly locate the person or, you know, the outlet that published it. So it just came up on MSN. But Cliff Kingsbury, They did a study or a ranking on who the best coordinators, not offensive coordinator only, who the best coordinators are in the NFL. Current. And Cliff Kingsbury was not number one, no surprise. He wasn't number two. Again, no surprise. Or three or four or five. So he wasn't in the top five. But he was in the top 10. Cliff Kingsbury was named, ranked, whatever, the seventh best coordinator in the NFL. Now, that's offense, defense, and I guess special teams. I value special teams. Nobody else in the media does. I do. Rick Goslin does. He does. Because he does a special teams thing every year. Seventh best coordinator in the NFL. Steve Spagnuolo was number one of the Kansas City Chiefs. Todd Monken of the Baltimore Ravens was number two. Vic Fangio of the now Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles defense was number three. Brian Flores, the Vikings defensive coordinator, number four. I'm going to skip number five for right now because this one was a little controversial. Number six, Joe Brady, the Bills offensive coordinator, who, oh, by the way, took over on an interim basis like a year and change ago after being a hotshot offensive coordinator in at LSU, and everybody gave him all the credit for Joe Burrow. He wound up in Carolina, him and the guy that's now the Nebraska head coach, Matt Rhule. They couldn't get along. They didn't see eye to eye, what have you. So he was fired. Brady was after like a year and a half. Not even, I don't think. And then he kind of bounced around. And now he's kind of found his footing again, ironically enough, with the great Josh Allen, who won the NFL MVP. But then Kingsbury came in at seven. Now, I think that is a reasonable ranking. I don't think there's anything at all humiliating or embarrassing about that. As a matter of fact, it's higher than I thought it would be because I thought he would be punished for Jaden Daniels. I thought he would be punished for the Hail Mary. I thought he would be punished for all the last minute, last second, last play victories. So here's the accompanying write-up. It said, quote, just about everyone questioned the Washington Commanders a year ago when they hired Cliff Kingsbury to pair with Jaden Daniels. It's funny, I didn't question that. I mean, I guess that's why he says just about everyone. I didn't question that. Oh, it was a good move. Then again, I actually paid attention and realized that it was Kyler Murray's fault in Arizona and not the stupid Cliff. Because that's what the Cliff narrative was. Stupid. Entering 2025, Daniels is viewed as a top five MVP candidate, and Kingsbury is recognized as one of the best NFL coordinators right now. The Commanders play caller answered the long-standing question regarding his offenses falling off in the second half of the season. From weeks 12 through 18, the Commanders averaged 30 points per game, and the team scored 91 points during its three-game playoff run. Kingsbury has even more talent to work with this season, and he's a safe bet for head coaching interviews in the next hiring cycle. There are some that believe Kingsbury would have gotten the New Orleans job if he wanted it. Don't know for sure, but possibly. Listen, there was the narrative about Cliff Kingsbury was unfair to begin with. Again, college at Texas Tech, please, if we're going to compare that to the NFL, no thanks. The only reasonable comparison would have been the Arizona Cardinals. And he was the head coach, not the offensive coordinator. But as I told you all along, when Cliff got the job, that is a Kyler Murray problem, not a Cliff Kingsbury problem. That is a Kyler Murray problem, not a Cliff Kingsbury issue. Now, did Cliff Kingsbury learn how to do things differently and better as he went along in Arizona, incorporating the tight ends, running the ball more? Absolutely. Like all good coaches, he made adjustments. And last year, down the stretch during this week 12 through week 18 thing, it's not like they ran the ball effectively. I mean, they did in one game against Tennessee, but it's not like they ran the ball effectively up until the Detroit playoff game. And that's because Detroit was shredded because of injury. Again, I'm not trying to take away any credit at all from Cliff Kingsbury, but I'm just saying that people, their predisposed, their pre-narrative disposition on Cliff Kingsbury was ridiculous. They didn't do their homework. I did. People in the NFL knew how bad it was with Kyler Murray. That's why the Arizona Cardinals tried to put that video game clause in. Because they knew as well. And Cliff knew. And Cliff won't talk about it, but trust me, it's reality. All right, your reaction to that, I'm going to give you who number five was on the list and what stood out to me. Plus, we'll get to all your calls on the other side in just a moment. With us right here on this Bobby Bonilla Day. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Nationals come home tonight after the nine-game roadie that ended in Anaheim with an extra inning win on Sunday, taking two out of three against the Angels, and they take on the Detroit Tigers. Now, the good news is they won't take on their best pitcher, Tarik Skubal, in this three-game series, but the Tigers have the best record in baseball since last mid-August. And obviously made the playoffs last year, winning a first-round playoff series and doing very well so far. So the Tigers come in, 6:45, first pitch, Nationals Park, 106.7, the Fan, and the Odyssey app, along with the Nats Radio Network. Meanwhile, from the tight end, from the NFL, rather, tight end Darren Waller is coming out of retirement to join the Miami Dolphins as one of their tight ends. He was last with the New York Giants. They're trading a 2026 sixth-round pick in exchange for Waller and a conditional 2027 seventh-round pick, according to Adam Schefter. He's 32 years old, is Waller. So an interesting conclusion to that trade from yesterday. From the NBA, a couple of big news items. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander reaching a $285 million contract extension over 4 years with the Oklahoma City Thunder after winning a world championship. And the Milwaukee Bucks are letting go of Damian Lillard, who tore his Achilles early in the playoffs. And they've also agreed to a contract with free agent center Miles Turner, who leads the Pacers to join the Bucks on a 4-year, $107 million deal. And that's what's trending. I like when you were playing Prince music better. Another Lil I see on my screen here, Lil Durk. Who's that?
Lil Durk and Drake.
Is that little Dirk Nowitzki?
Oh my gosh, you sound like such a nerd when you say little.
I mean, you know, like I said to you last week, everybody's named Lil.
Can you ask?
Come up with something creative, like the rooster, for God's sakes.
Can you come up with like a cool way of saying Lil? Like you're
Lil.
What was the word that you said that you were reading in the article? I forgot what it was.
Y'all. That's how I was saying it. Y'all
lulz.
I mean, I had never seen y'all quoted four times in basically one sentence. That's kind of the premise there. All right, we got to get back to the calls and get you guys aboard. Let's go to line one. Dr. Sabah wants to weigh in here, and we always appreciate the commentary and the fiery energy that Dr. Sabah brings to the table. What's up, Doc? How are you?
Ooh, been a rough day at work. You're lucky I just got my 5 minute little break. I said I got to take a break. Getting
all
my,
right.
my eyeballs off the computer.
Girl.
So anyhow, I agree for once with Paulie. There is nothing nostalgic about RFK and an expansion team. I mean, if you're going to keep that dreadful name, mine's a little bit of a brand new stadium somewhere down in Richmond area so the North Carolina people can come up there, and nobody in D.C. likes the team. It's all transplants. I mean, my own cousins that live up there, they're, you know, Giant fans, Buffalo Bill fans, Dallas Cowboy fans. None of them like the Redskins except my brothers who were born and raised in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. I mean, so that right there is nothing nostalgic. It's all about money, which I told you before. These politicians, just like that bill they're passing, they're going to cut all this, the Medicaid care, whatever they're cutting, but they're going to increase the debt because everybody gets their own little thing they want. These canceled people are probably just holding out so they can get some nice, sweet tickets and free parking and all the perks, you know, just like the radio guys get. I'm not talking about you.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so none of it.
Yeah, I don't get to park for free around here.
No.
There's a certain morning show that might, but
exactly.
I don't.
Exactly. Exactly. And they casually, oh, my goodness, my heater broke today. Oh, how convenient. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that it's all a scam, guys. And none of it is for the fans. None of it is for the community. It's all for the politicians and the business owners' pockets. That's just the world we live in. There's no need to be upset about it. But let's not camouflage things. Just like if Josh Harris really loved the team, he would have brought back the name a long time ago. Nobody has a problem. They would have brought back the logo easily. But he's just trying to appease certain people so he can get what he wants. And then he'll decide if it's worth it or not to do something. Now, the other thing.
Doc always manages to get the shot in about the name. There is.
While I'm speaking of my shots.
It's like the sun rising. It's like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. Can always
count. Wait a minute, you forgot.
Yeah.
Taylor Haneke is getting married. I have to mention him.
Oh,
I did
see that.
And I'm hoping for an invite to the wedding.
Oh,
I'm hoping
sure.
that I can actually give him away. That's what I'm hoping.
I mean, listen, in a Redskins jersey, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have his. I have his jersey. Yes, I do.
You wouldn't put on a Commander's jersey, right?
No, never. I don't have one.
Uh-huh.
I don't. And if someone brings in a house, it will be burnt.
Right.
Like, literally, that'll be the flag I'll be burning. It's called the C flag. Yeah, that'll be gone. And what was the other thing I was going to comment? You just mentioned something about, what were you just talking about before I called in? Dang, my brain.
Wait,
you
say that again.
Another story.
AMAC was.
You were just mentioning another
Kingsbury.
Story. You went on another story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kingsbury, you mean?
Oh, yeah. I think he's a great offensive coordinator. Oh, my God. You know me, a big Drake May fan, Carolina. I was hoping that we would get him because it was Kingsbury. I think that it fits Jaden's game. It would fit Drake May's game. It fits a lot of quarterbacks' games. But you have to be a studier of the game. You have to know where to go with the ball because a lot of times he was going to wide-open people or he was running into wide-open spaces. But if you're not a studier, Murray, it's not going to work. So I think that Kingsbury, number one, maybe that guy in Kansas City, but I'm telling you, Kingsbury, to me, very close number one coordinator in the NFL. I'm a big, big fan of his. So that's what I got for you, buddy.
All right. Appreciate you, Doc.
Thank you.
If we don't talk, happy fourth. Appreciate you, as always. I thought Doc was going to bring up the thing that the Hader Report brought up and brought out earlier today on Twitter. I saw Jeff Schwartz, who used to be an NFL offensive lineman, works for Fox Sports. Jeff Schwartz?
Yeah.
Really? Do you know he used to be an intern for this station? Yeah, serious. How is Jeff Schwartz your guy as you suck down your bougie salad there?
Are we talking about the Oregon offensive line?
Yeah.
The former Oregon offensive? Oh, wow. Yeah,
so you work with him over at SiriusXM?
Yeah, he works. He hosts the Big Ten This Morning channel.
Why don't you get him on the show?
I didn't know we wanted Oregon tackles.
I mean, he covers the NFL.
Let's do it.
I mean, I could text him as well. Probably should do that as well.
We can do it.
Yeah, Jeff Schwartz used to be an intern for this station.
Really?
I'm dead
Here
serious.
In D.C.?
Yes. It was through the NFLPA.
Hmm.
So I'll give you a little side story on that. When the station was owned by Dan Snyder, Red Zebra Broadcasting, my first go around with 980, when it was independently competitive with 106.7, right? I worked for 980 for the first time for 5 years. I think it was my last two summers, but maybe it was not the last summer. Yeah, I think it was probably the two summers before that. So I guess my third and fourth summer. Both Jeff Schwartz and in the next year, you know the name Jordan Poyer, the Pro Bowl safety that used to be up in Buffalo forever and was in Miami last year?
Yes.
Both Jordan Poyer and Jeff Schwartz were interns at this particular radio station through the NFLPA internship program, summer internship program. Wow. So I got to know them both and, you know, hang out with them a little bit. Went to a Caps Islanders game with Jordan Poyer. My daughter had the hots for him.
Really?
She was like 12. He's got those baby blues, you know?
Baby blues.
Yeah, but that was before. That was after his rookie NFL season when he did not think he was going to turn out to be a stud.
So you had NFL players working for you.
Basically,
yeah. Yeah, you're a hot shot.
Yeah.
It's a privilege working with the Rooster.
I used to be a big swinging you-know-what. One time, Josh Wilson, do you know that name? Former cornerback. Former NFL corner. I played with the Ravens, played here, played with a couple of other teams. He got mad about something I said about him.
Mm-hmm. But you haven't fired?
No, I mean, maybe I was a little too hard on him, but he was really struggling. And he wanted to come after me. And D'Angelo Hall stepped in and said, no, man. He's one of us. So I had D'Angelo Hall.
Sticking protecting your boy. Yeah.
And I was Jordan Poyer and Jeff Schwartz's boss.
Yeah.
Nah, I wasn't really their boss.
I mean, they all probably just didn't want you to steal their lady.
Yeah.
Because we know how that goes.
Yeah,
with the
yeah,
rooster.
Yeah, right. Because I'm doing a lot of that. Sure. Oh, my goodness. Let's get to Lap in D.C. here, and then we'll save Jason for the other side. What up, Lappy? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Russell? How's it going, man?
What's going on, Lap?
Yeah, man. I'm kind of with Paulie with the stadium thing, you know, in a sense. I feel where you're coming from. I mean, I do want my team in D.C., and I do want to benefit from some of those major sporting events. But, man, I just want a winning team, and hopefully we get a Super Bowl, man. That's all I'm thinking about. So, you know, maybe I'll have it one day. And I'm hoping Jaden can develop and keep moving forward. They can build around him and give him what he needs to succeed. And just keep it simple for him, man. And, I know he's going to put in the work and the time and the effort. And, yeah, we should be good, man. Hopefully we can piggyback where we left off last season, man. It'd be another great season for us, you know, even though our schedule was tougher. But
yeah, I wouldn't have the same expectation level, right? I mean, here's my thing. I understand how last year kind of wants you leaves you salivating for more.
Right.
But we all know that NFL seasons are never the same. Repeat one. It's not wash, rinse, repeat. Sometimes it is, but very rarely is it. So you should be expecting less this year. At least that's the way I'm approaching it. I'm hoping things turn out to be even better than they turned out last year. That's, in my opinion, an unrealistic hope. I'm more realistically thinking, hey, if this team can win 10 games and make the playoffs and take a chance and get a chance, and maybe you win a playoff game or two, maybe you go and get hot right at the right, however it happens. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm not expecting or planning things to be better than last year, even though their roster is arguably, and maybe not arguably, definitively better than it was last year because of some of the things you said.
Yeah, definitely. And I just want JB to be healthy, man, to protect him, you know. And, you know, we always got a chance once he's out there.
Yeah.
And his connection with the coaches and everything, man, to be a good step in the right direction. And hopefully we can get Terry back in the mix contract situation. But I'm excited, Roosters. Let's see what happens.
I mean, good to be optimistic as opposed to gloom and doom. Appreciate you, Lab. I would say this, again, I think they have the right formula. I think they have the right pieces. What I do worry about is, again, more road games than home games. Tougher schedule. We all know that. Just these crazy turnarounds, short weeks. I know everybody likes to make fun of me because I don't like Thanksgiving and Christmas games. I'm telling you, man, I know they don't play on Thanksgiving, but they do play on Christmas. When your body is beat up, the NFL can throw whatever data or whatever they want. It's a bunch of crap. It's the players that can't play or are 70% as opposed to 85 or 90% if it's a long week or if it's a normal week. And instead, they're being asked to play 4 days later. 301-230-0980. Cliff Kingsbury, the seventh-ranked coordinator. I'll give you who was five, who immediately stood out to me next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I am indeed hot, A-Mac. Thank you for the reminder. God, I look good. Maybe not. All right, Cliff Kingsbury, seventh best coordinator in the NFL after Steve Spagnuolo. Todd Monken at number two. The Ravens offensive coordinator. Vic Fangio, number three. Brian Flores, number four. I skipped number five earlier. I got to pay it off. My guy A-Mac thinks he's got the answer. Who do you think it is, A-Mac?
They're just setting me up for failure. Chip Kelly.
Robert Saleh. Then Joe Brady, then Kingsbury.
You said he hasn't been in the NFL for 4 years?
No, I said he hadn't been a coordinator for four years. He's been a head coach. And last year, their defense stunk in New York, and that's part of the reason why he got fired is because their defense stunk. Previous to that, he had actually done a good job building up that defense. And now he's back with San Francisco. And my guy Kyle Shanahan's fired the last two defensive coordinators he's been with after 1 year. Steve Wilks and Nick Sorensen, I believe, were I think last year was Sorensen. I know Wilks the year before that. And remember, they were one fourth down stop away in overtime to winning the Super Bowl. But here's the bottom line. Yeah, it is Sorensen. I mean, clearly, I'm sure he'll do better, right? And the story says basically, San Francisco's defense never came close to reaching its former heights after Saleh left. He oversaw top 10 defenses twice during his time as the New York Jets head coach, and he was even better as a play caller in San Francisco 2017 through 2020. The 49ers might want to enjoy having him while they still can because he'll get head coaching opportunities in 2026. I don't doubt any of that. I don't doubt that it wasn't Robert Saleh's fault with the Jets. Here's my argument. Here's my issue. He hasn't been a coordinator for 4 years. Actually, I mean, I guess since the 2020 season ended. So it's almost 5 years, right? Is he still? Here's what people misunderstand all the time. And I got to do this quick, and then we'll get back to the calls on the other side. You're only as good as a coordinator as the talent that's available for you. I mean, you can make them a little bit better, a little bit crisper, a little bit cleaner. You can't make nothing or something huge out of nothing. You just can't. And people refuse to recognize that, both positively and negatively. So let's see what Saleh can do with a lot less than what they once used to have in San Francisco. I think five is rich. I think Kingsbury and maybe even Joe Brady should have been a spot ahead, and maybe Saleh fitting in somewhere after them. He hasn't been a defense coordinator in 5 years. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, we continue after 3 o'clock right here on a now rainy and stormy Tuesday. Be safe out there, everybody.